Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide us, help us, teach us to deal with the events in our life as we hurt and heal and have joy also. In Jesus' name, amen. Life is full of so many, many experiences. And aren't we glad that they're not all the same, like day after day, boring experiences? No, we thrive on the variety in life. And yet sometimes it seems the challenges are just a little too much, or a lot too much. Are you someone who needs a little compassion as you deal with changes that have come about too suddenly in life? Are you dealing with long lines at the cash registers or traffic in the city, and impatient drivers who might even honk their horns? It is just the way of the world for changes to occur. And last week, I talked about big subjects, genocide and Holocaust here and there in the world. Now, that is a really big change. Thankfully, we don't have to deal with those kind of issues because the issues before us are about as much as we can handle, just day-to-day issues. Do you remember, just look back a ways, do you remember being a teenager? There were problems at that time, and they were about as much as we could handle. So how do we each deal with stress or loss, like the Paradise Fire? Now, I don't have the training or the educational qualifications to deal with how to answer that question about how we deal with stress or loss. I only have my own experience, and my own experience tells me that Jesus is the answer, and the Bible is too. And we direct our thoughts to as much good as we can. You know, if Philippians 4:8, it says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So maybe the question is, how do we do this when we don't feel like doing it? Well, let's look at driving. Sometimes we don't feel like driving, or sometimes there's a very rude driver that we somehow have in our vicinity. And we are determined to do what is right. And then we do it. So what is the right thing to do? Well, we know from our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us. Now, even if we don't always know the answer of what to do, we do really try to carry out what is right. But that's life. And we deal with it. We deal with all sorts of situations, all sorts of changes. And life goes on. Do you remember when you were a teenager? Well, life has gotten, well, easier in so many ways since then. But as a teenager, there were a lot of issues. And every decade after that, well, we get new awareness and new challenges in life. But as we look back, we can be thankful if we're one of those who did not have some really serious issues in life. Oh, it might have been abuse as a child or later in life, but so many people have issues, and we can just be thankful that we don't have those great big serious issues. But we all go through issues. That's just life. And we all need Jesus. And we all need human compassion. Doesn't that help a lot? Now, sometimes we have friends and family, and sometimes we have to have a professional counselor to have that kind of supportive people around us. It's just life is full of all sorts of things. We go through all sorts of things. And what do we end up doing? Well, let's remember the great commandments, okay? I think that's good to do. In Matthew chapter 22, the first is that we love the Lord our God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second great commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, what special challenges and what special rewards. Often, what we can actually do is limited, but we can always pray for other people, and we can always be concerned for their needs. Daily prayers for basic needs, that's good. And all sorts of people around us have them. Basic needs, I mean, it might be a job, or it might be a human relationship with caring and friendship. And it might be a spiritual relationship. Everybody needs something, and everybody needs Jesus. That's just a part of human relationships. Human relationships. They're good, but they're imperfect. But we keep taking those steps forward. And we are always thankful that we have a relationship with Jesus. I think of Romans 3:10. There's none righteous, not Jew, not Gentile. And it continues, let's see, 3:10, 3:18. There is no fear of God with some. Can you imagine having no fear of God? If you know God, you have fear of God because God is holy and righteous. And we all have such imperfections or sins, and it's just such a great comfort to know that we belong to our holy God. To me, that's why we need Jesus. Let's see. John chapter 14, verse 6 tells us what Jesus says. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So you decide those words. Do you believe them? Do you not believe them? I mean, do you believe the Bible? Or do you only believe some of the Bible? Oh, be careful with that one. Because if you are choosing what to believe and what not to believe based on you, it's just kind of dangerous. The Bible says it's true, and it sure, that's my experience. It's all truth. Yes, as we look through the Bible, as we look through history, I've found it to be consistent and unchanging in what it teaches. And it is that God tells us the truth, and God tells us what to believe. Yes, so we get to figure out, do we want to believe what is written, or do we want to believe whatever we think that changes from time to time? Woo! God does not change. Oh, big questions, and we each get to figure it out for ourselves. But God doesn't change. We can have a stable relationship with Him. All through life, there's instability with everything else but God. Our institutions, our government, our guarantees of everything, they are not secure. They are not solid, but only God is stable. Stable and solid, and we get to know God through prayer and through Bible and through lessons in life. Oh, there's lots of things that change. God does not change. The world can change. Sometimes it changes quickly. Sometimes it does not. And you know, across our nation, all sorts of things go on. These days, there's wind, there's rain, there's snow. And our electricity can be out for thousands of people. So much we just take for granted. And nothing is really dependable but God. I think we're better off when we thank God for what we do have, and that we ask Him to be our supply. God is wonderful. Now, when I say ask God, thank God for what we have, I don't mean just a sentence or two that we repeat. I really think that we look at our heart and have a heart and our minds that express a full thankfulness to God for all the blessings that we do have. That's what I think of. There's a lot in the world that we need protection from also. I think there's a lot of things that we can see as unlikely, but they happen to people all over the world, difficulties. Somehow we are to be in the world, but not of it. That's John in chapter 15. I know that this is one of those things that we look at, in the world, but not of it. And we all have to search for answers to the questions we have in life. We can find the answers, just search Scripture. And I know there's a lot of things that we each have that are concerns, just plain in life, as we go through life, as we live in the world. There's lots of things that concern us. I know I have my concerns. I talk about them sometime. Certainly one of them is vaccinating our children. To me, this is a concern because of how the vaccines are grown. Now, most people don't have that concern, but if you look into the matter, I think there's lots of reasons to be concerned. Vaccines are grown using monkey cells and even aborted baby organ cells. The information is there. It's all you have to do is look. It's on the CDC websites. It tells us about how things are done. Sometimes we might have to look up a few words, but it's all there. And to me, these kind of things are concerns. Just last month, February 2019, there's a natural news website, and it described how there was a government expert, Dr. Andrew Zimmerman, who testified that some of the vaccines caused autism. And he quickly was fired for saying that. Even though he had given much government testimony in the past, he was quickly fired. So there's lots of information out there, but if we never look, we never see. And I think for our own sakes, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our grandchildren, I hope you do look. Just look a little bit. I think there's plenty of questions, plenty of things that just don't make sense that we want to do with vaccines now. Now, too many of us believe that flu shots are good for us. They're good for a good thing for us. And I know that when you look at flu shots, they just about all of them have thimerosal in them. What's thimerosal? It's a preservative made up of 49% mercury. Can you imagine putting mercury, injecting it into your body? Well, it's just one of those things. That's why I think that flu shots are not good for people. And all those other vaccinations, they have other things in them. So check it out for yourself. Take a few minutes. It doesn't take long. You just have to get to a website and look at what genetic material vaccine cultures are grown in. I think it'll shock you, but that's the world we live in. Lots of things shock us in this world. It's just our world, our society, our everything. In the United States, there's lots of things that are going on. I know one of the things that just kind of gets my attention is how there are the very small killer drones. And those very small little drones, they're ones that have, it looks to me like they have a 10-mile range after they are dropped off by a larger drone. And those little miniature drones, they have a small explosive charge in them, and they immediately fly to the targeted person's head and explode, and that explosion will kill that person. So I think of all sorts of things about the world we live in, lots of things. That doesn't mean they target us. It seems that the targets are, important military people or pilots or officers or something like that. So those drones apparently can be flown remotely, or they can be self-directed, and they can locate people using facial recognition. I don't know what to say. Just very interesting. It just makes you wonder where we are headed, what kind of a science fiction world we are headed into. And I don't know. I know that the development and research areas of the U.S. military and other militaries of the world, they have lots of surprises, lots of developments. And we can only kind of look at the indicators and figure out what those are. I know one of the things that has been going on for, 25 years, is Project Bluebeam. And it's it is said to incorporate the world we live in with electronic images that show up in the sky. The big ones that they talk about are an electronic image of Jesus returning, or an electronic image in the sky of the Islamic Mahdi returning. These things have been talked about for 20 years as being possible. Of course, if you don't have an ear to hear those things, you don't hear them. But they've been talked about as being in the planning stages, and now it seems like this is the way it is, that it's possible, and this would bring in a new age for humanity. We could very well be told to obey that image, and that image projected into the sky would speak. It would speak through ultra-low frequency waves. That's what the military has developed already. And that speaking feels as though it is going directly into your skull, or call it directly into your ears, but it's going right into your senses. And apparently all this is already developed. The early models have been developed for decades, but today there are advanced models which exist, advanced models which do this. Apparently it's already proven technology. So on one hand, we have this advanced technology that has been developed and proven. That's for some parts of the world. But just think of other parts of the world. The conditions in life are so very non-Western. Now, some people would call them primitive. Well, it is in some places where there's still slavery in some parts of the world, and people are still abducted, and the men or the husbands are shot and killed, and that's what's going on in some cases for the last few years with the ISIS groups. The Yazidi slaves have been turned into slaves, and there's documentaries about this, and it's done by international organizations. So the documentations are there, but there again, do we look? Do we see? Do we wonder about what's really going on? Well, we wonder about what could happen in the world, and that's just so natural. That's what we do. So many possibilities, and I sure don't know, but I wonder. I know that there's possibilities for a civilization, the collapse of civilization. And so far, it seems like the biggest cause of that that's considered is for our electrical grid to collapse. That collapse of our electrical grid would be due to an EMP, or electromagnetic pulse. And that would cause collapses to occur all over the place. Certainly our finances would collapse, our banking would collapse, and our dollar would collapse, and this would lead to probably an international currency, probably a cryptocurrency. So there's plenty of possibilities. And like I say, what should we do? Get a little prepared. That's what I say. And I think that we as a community will be able to help each other with the preparations that we do have. I know that just days ago, Warren Buffett, that billionaire investor, suggested that there could be a mega collapse coming to our world in which millions of people would die. So, yes, our world, and certainly it was suggested that the United States would be a part of it. Millions of people would die. That's been talked about for a long time by lots of people. Now, we surely don't know. It's not that we know what's coming, but there are too many people who have talked about this kind of a scenario coming. And that, to me, it would only make sense to have some preparations. Because anything that comes will certainly come quickly and unexpectedly. So are we prepared? Huh. Well, I do urge everyone to take simple preparedness steps. Now, right now, while supplies and food is available. So you can certainly understand that if there ever was a crisis or a big concern, all of the extra food and all of the extra supplies will be gone. Just gone, gone, gone. Kind of like overnight. It just disappears ever so quick. I mean, look at the natural disasters that have happened in the United States. Or anywhere in the world, really. But we're here in the United States, so I say look at the natural disasters that have happened here in the United States. What happens? As we learn about a disaster, all the food, all the water, and all the supplies disappear from store shelves. That's just the way it always happens. And they disappear within hours, often within 12 hours, certainly within 24 hours. And then how long do you think it takes for those store shelves to get restocked? It takes weeks. So That is something that if we look, we can see. That's what it has happened. So if you share in this concern, get some supplies now while they are available. And of course, you need to pay attention to staying within your budget and staying within your plan. Plans are important. They give you the guidelines and the direction. So you think about it and you come up with a plan. Now, if you need plans, there's lots of them that are available. So many organizations have plans that they give away for free. Or you can look on the computer and you can see what they think. Lots of opinions are out there, but you have to determine what it is that suits you. What suits you for what you would like to do? And like I said, stay within your budget and stay within your plan. Because we certainly do not know when a great big event will happen. But they do happen without much warning. So we know it's possible, and that means we should make sensible preparations. Just plain sensible, and that will change for everybody. Everybody is different, and that's why we need to be a community to take, to use the resources that we each have in preparing for some surprises. Whatever we do, it won't be perfect, but we do something. So all this, what does it make me think of? Ha! It makes me think of 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. As travail cometh upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So, I think it's just very interesting. Sudden destruction when they say peace and safety. And I thought about this scripture a few days ago when I saw the U.S. Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, speak at the Peace and Security Forum in the Middle East. It was a meeting in Warsaw, Poland, February 13th, 2019. And as he spoke, in the background was a curtain, and on that curtain it was written over and over, peace and security and safety. Now, I know very well that 1 Thessalonians 3 says peace and safety, and that curtain in the back of Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, says peace, security, and safety. So, they're not the same, but they are so very close that it gets my attention. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians says, and then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Oh, I don't know. What do you think? I think it's interesting. Who knows the times that we live in? There's just lots of questions, lots of things going on. And I think of the events in the world. I think of Russia's hypersonic cruise missiles. Russia's hypersonic cruise missiles are said to go 5 times the speed of sound. And maybe by the end of 2019, we, the United States of America, will have our own hypersonic missiles. Or maybe we will have some defense from Russia's hypersonic missiles. I don't think we quite know really what we will have, but there are plans, of course, for every nation that can develop them to have them. I also know history. In history, when one country can deploy a weapon against another country, that the other country does not have, there is a much greater chance of a war happening. Because of the superior technology of one country against another. So, will we have a war? Well, probably not, but it's foolish not to recognize that we could have a war. I mean, every world power knows this. There's China, there's Russia, and they have a certain antagonism towards the United States. And lots of countries have a certain antagonism towards the United States. Now, I can't predict a war. I'm not predicting a war. But I can say, in looking at history, that there are some very real possibilities for some kind of a war to occur in short order. Who knows when? And I don't know that I mean in months or years, in 7 months, in 7 years. I don't know. I see the possibilities for both of those. But to predict a war, who could do that? I know there are indicators, and that's what I bring up. If I was to say I see war or foresee a war event, I would think of it in terms of an EMP missile strike, electromagnetic pulse strike, which would put our electricity out of order. We would have no electricity for years. And if you look at the 2008 Congressional EMP report, or you can look at the 2016 book by Ted Koppel titled Lights Out, you might agree with me about this, that these are some very real possibilities. What a topic, huh? What a thing to be concerned about. But I think it's better that we look at things and try to rationalize what some real concerns are. Wouldn't I just love to say, yes, I would love to say that the United States will never be involved in another war. And I would just love to say that there will be no more wars on Earth. But I think we know better. From experience, we know better. And because the Bible tells us, wars are coming. And what do other countries say about the state of the world? Well, you know, China's a kind of interesting place because they have this concept of honor, and their feelings have been deeply hurt by us saying that there should be sanctions on their imports. And, you know, our president, Donald Trump, he wanted to and is in the process of raising tariffs and taxes on Chinese goods being shipped to the United States. Everything is in a little process of change. It's kind of interesting. There have been special mailing rates that China has had to send goods to the United States. And China has had lots of advantages. China has had their smartphone company, Huawei. They have had lots of direct connections with their Chinese military intelligence to spy on other people who use their Huawei phones. And they did this for the purpose of gathering information, military information. That's what Huawei did. And it's just a matter of what's going on here. It's a good question. And China's president for life, Xi Jinping, told the Chinese military troops to be prepared for war in 2019, this year, and to be prepared to die for the honor of China. Well, that's a quick look at what's going on in China and in Russia. Russia. Well, for a few years, they have been very concerned that NATO is placing weapons, nuclear capacity weapons, closer and closer to Moscow. And Moscow has had some very large-scale civilian and military drills which practice at protecting Russian civilians from a nuclear exchange. And they have large, huge underground military bunkers for that. So Russia has things going on. When the United States bombed the Syrian military assets, Russia, who was protecting Syria, it was actually President Putin of Russia who said, because of that strike on Syria by the United States, that the United States would face serious consequences for that action. Now, what does that mean? We don't exactly know. But nowadays, Russia is suggesting that Russian missiles could be put into Cuba, and that could lead to a 1960s-style Cuban missile crisis that we already had under President Kennedy. It could happen again. It almost brought the United States to war with Russia. There's just things going on, and I think we ought to be aware of them. USA, China, Russia, and other powers of the world, well, they're having some conflicts today. There's other powers also, like Iran. Iran has threatened to attack the military assets of the United States in their region. Iran calls the United States the Great Satan. And that's been going on for years. And there's North Korea, which is kind of a wild card, because for years they've told their population that North Korea would attack the United States. That's what billboards have on them. And so, yeah, we have talks going on between the United States and North Korea. But who knows what will actually happen? I do remember those two secret launches of the two North Korean satellites, which they pass over the United States every day. And we don't know what's on them. We don't know if at all what's on them. There could be an EMP-producing device on one or both of those satellites. No one knows for sure except North Korea. So people are concerned with all sorts of things these days, including, let's look at India and Pakistan. Well, India has a huge population. It's just about very close to the same as China's population. It's huge. And both India and Pakistan have nuclear weapons, and they have had skirmishes over their border. It's just another point in the world where a war could erupt. War can erupt easily. And don't forget ISIS. It's another, it's a group that practices violence. They have done murders, so many in the past, and they have had slavery as well. Remember, I just talked about the Yazidi population. Slavery and rape and all this is documented by the international bodies. It's just horrendous. And it could trigger a war also. Well, there's more places than these where a war could erupt. It's just that these are ones in our attention. Yeah. I think of the description in the Bible of wars and rumors of wars in the end days. Are these the times when that's talking about? If that's what's going on, the Bible also tells about famine and a few other things. That's Matthew chapter 24. Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21. Read them. Read them. Have a look and see if what you see makes you concerned or think about the truth of what's going on. We can try to understand, and we can search for the truth. I don't know, but it certainly looks to me like some pretty big trouble could be coming. Of course, we don't know it. We don't know. But we have indicators, and I think those are good and right to look at. Oh, some people have already decided that they would rather die than to go through any kind of discomfort or any sorts of trials. I suppose we each get to decide that for ourselves, and if we're the head of the family, for our families. But I think that we ought to be prepared to live through some hard times, because in those hard times is exactly the time that we can live to bring hope of Jesus to others. So remember that. If you don't want to get through those hard times, think of the other people who need hope, the hope of Jesus Christ. Fight for the life in Jesus Christ. Fight for life. Fight for sharing Jesus. I think that all of our choices that we make really do have consequences. And I think if we really do live faithfully to Jesus Christ, well, that has consequences. And if we don't live faithfully to Jesus Christ, that has consequences also. I can't tell you the consequences. It's not for me to determine. That's between you and Jesus Christ. But I hope you have a look at it and you just kind of think and discern. And I hope you renew the strength that you find in Jesus to share the love of Christ with those around you. How do we do all that? I think it surely does help to prepare by reading Scripture. Scripture. I think that as we read, we can read for 10 minutes a day, don't you think? Or we can look up Scriptures for 10 minutes a day. And yes, in the Bible, or yes, on an electronic device. We can do that. Every person can do that. I think it's good to have this in your heart, in your mind, to remember Scripture and to see if it matches up to the times that we are living in. And if you are motivated to put something away for that so-called rainy day, I think, yeah, good for you. Because I just have to wonder, will we actually do anything to preserve life for ourselves in a spiritual way or in a physical way? Are we going to actually do something? Yes, it sounds kind of harsh to put it like that, doesn't it? What are you going to do? But that is the question. Do we expect somebody else to take care of us? Or are we going to take responsibility for ourselves and those people around us who we love that we can have some influence on? I think we take advantage of the understanding we have and our ability to have preparations. Not to rely on somebody else or rely on the government or rely on somebody else to save you. I think we take care of ourselves. And we do this, do we expect someone else to feed and clothe us if there are hard times that come along? Or can we be prepared for those things? Oh, like if the electricity goes off, really and truly, there's lots of people who have that concern. the military has plans for such an event. Their plans are to provide for their own people and not for the civilians. The U.S. government has plans to provide for their own people, but not for the civilians. So shouldn't you consider planning for the kind of dangers that they see? They see there's dangers for an electrical outage. So I think that we all can consider this in our just-in-case plans. I know that the United States government talks about what we each should do. Why, there was a time a few years ago when the government said each one of us should have 3 days of food and water. And then they changed it to 3 weeks of food and water. And there's plenty of emergency personnel, first responders, who said that is not enough. We need to do more. And so what did they do? Well, I don't think there was a uniform decision on how much time, how many weeks of food and water to have. But there were plenty of people who thought it should be a lot longer. Yeah. And then, right about December of 2018, well, it was in December of 2018, the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council, they made a report, and it was published by the Department of Homeland Security. This report said that the American public, and I think that means everybody, should expect to be without electricity for 6 months or more, or less. And during this time, we would all be without electricity, transportation, fuel, and health care. They concluded that we each individually needed to be prepared for a prolonged electric power outage, which could last 2 to 6 months or even years. That's a big thing. You know what? I'm gonna say that again as much as I can remember. That as of December 2018, the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council published a report through the Homeland Security, and the report said that the American public, everybody, should have a 6 month supply of food and water, as we are without electricity for that amount of time, and that an outage could last for 2 to 6 months, or it could even last years. That's what this report said. It's a big thing. And there's lots of indicators and lots of warnings that have had this same kind of a message. And it's kind of surprising that there is a response among the general population and the general Christian community that something big, something bad, some kind of an event is coming. Now, we have two different opinions on how to approach this, because one group of Christians will use the biblical argument of Matthew chapter 6 that says we're not to worry about food and clothing. So that's one point of view. And another point of view is the Christians who use illustrations in the Bible to say that we ought to have concern and we ought to have preparations. Now, there's a little difference there between concern and worry. Don't worry, but do have concern. Well, at any rate, There's plenty of people who say, have a storehouse. Or like Proverbs 30:25 says, we are told to store up food like the ant. Well, the Bible is a big book, and there's a lot in it. And the experts, the Christian experts, they have big disagreements about a lot of Bible subjects. So, what do you do? How do you determine what you are going to do? I say, pray and read the Bible and let God speak to you as you read the Bible and ask God for the understanding that He would have you to have. Please do read the Bible and do ask God for understanding. Understanding about what He would have you to do. Yes, I find it really incredible how many different people read the Bible and they really have different ideas and different conclusions about what the Bible says. To store up or not to store up? To have absolutely nothing in your storehouse? Well, there are plenty of disagreements among Bible-believing Christians. I don't know how to settle those disagreements. I just say, you read it for yourself. You determine whether, I don't know, there's some people who say we're going to be raptured before any real trouble comes around. Well, you figure that out and you get the consequences. I think we all have individual choices in how we live. It seems there are some pretty big differences about what we believe, depending on whether you're a Christian in the United States, where there has been really no huge difficulty, no huge deadly consequences. And that's the United States. Or if you are a Christian in the other parts of the world where Christians are persecuted and often enough they are even murdered or sold into slavery because they're Christians. Now, those are some pretty big points. And while all these things, these big things can happen, small things can happen too. And if we have small things happen, they can still affect us for a while. Look around us. You can see the Sacramento River is near flood levels. You can see Hamilton City has had warnings about the levees possibly breaking. You can see where there's been 9 inches of rain in 24 hours. That was in the north San Francisco Bay Area. And a couple of weeks ago, Redding had 14 inches of snow. And it was completely closed down for 3 days. And there were plenty of places that had no electricity either. Are those emergencies? Are those something to be concerned with? Well, emergencies come in all different shapes and sizes. I wonder, would you call it an emergency when San Francisco passes out free, clean needles to drug users? In 2018, those compassionate people in San Francisco handed out 5 million free syringes to IV drug users. And the report said half of those syringes were disposed of properly, and the other half were simply dropped on the sidewalks and in the street gutters of San Francisco. Yeah, so what's... We have times going on here that we have to be aware of. Lots of things are going on. And the Pacific Justice Institute warned us that the California schools are getting ready to teach 5- and 10-year-old children that they can choose whatever sex that they want to be. They decide. How interesting. Well, where are all these different situations headed? Of course, we don't know, and we do wonder what kind of difficulties and trials we will face. Will this all lead to revival, or will it result in a continued deterioration of the moral Christian fiber of the United States? Well, There's lots of different opinions about all this. And oh, do I hear lots of different opinions about where the nation is headed. Lots of good people with lots of different thoughts and opinions. There's a wide range of opinions, and I think we should be prepared for different possibilities. And that means good times or depression times. And we each want to have God's protection in the middle of whatever's going on. So just ask yourself, does your life reflect that you belong to Him? Does the life you live show that you belong to God, that you're representing God's will? Do the citizens of the United States live in a way that honors our God? So, are your decisions, the decisions you make, are they based on what you want or what God wants? You have to just have some consideration for what might befall this nation. I can't say I know, but I say times are pretty good right now. And since they're good, it's a good time to get the supplies and the food that you would like to have. Stock up now, because when food and supplies are available, that is when you want to get your food and supplies. If you wait until everything is in short supply, well, it's not going to be easy to get what you want, and it will cost a lot more. So, I don't know the future, but I do recognize the patterns. And that causes me to say, look out, get prepared for that just in case. That's what I see. So, if you want to get my ideas of preparation, please send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope, and I will send you my preparedness pamphlet. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And if you want to listen to this or other past broadcasts, go to www.christtoday.org. www.christtoday.org. And it's all lowercase and no spaces. So, until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.